Hello, hello, and welcome to Focused with Angela Duncan, where we focus on growing deeper in our walks with the Lord by focusing on God's love, God's heart, and the truth of His Word. I'm your host, Angela Duncan. Thank you to all our listeners who tune in each week on Fishbowl Radio Network, the number one internet radio station. Broadcasting live from Globe Life Park in Arlington, Texas, we have 4 million listeners tuning in globally. So thank you. Last week, our top 10 countries tuning in were the United States, Bahamas, United Kingdom, Mexico, Italy, Australia, Samoa, wow, Switzerland, and Russia. You can find me on Facebook under the group name Focus with Angela Duncan, or on podcast under Focus with Angela Duncan as well. Please go and subscribe. Our goal at Focus is to uplift, encourage, and inspire you by providing you with Christ-centered content that is authentic, informative, and relevant. Today, we have a great show for you. I'm excited. Our guest today is business owner, speaker, and author Tyson Thompson, author of the book Dream Another Dream. Tyson is also the founder of Our Village, It Takes One Incorporated. He's the owner of Chris Tyson Grooming and Styling Company, and he's a certified trainer with AHA Process. Tyson recognized that a person's responsiveness to knowing their value is directly linked to their productivity and fulfillment in life. His goal is to guide people toward the path to realize their value and live their dreams. That's awesome. Please welcome to the show, Tyson. How are you?
All is well. Thank you so much for having me.
Of course.
I really appreciate your time.
Oh, yes. I'm excited. Thank you so much for being a part of the show. So let's just get right in. I want you to share and really share your expertise, because you have a lot of expertise in this area. Let's start with your testimony. How did you start assisting others with recognizing their value and also living their dreams? Like, what put you on the path to even starting to do motivational speaking and coaching and things like that?
Well, my story really encouraged me. However, it was my experience being a barber. And as a barber, I've served thousands of people. As a matter of fact, there's been well over 100,000 individuals that I've actually touched and served and had individual conversations.
Wow.
And what I learned is that most of these people just want to be heard.
Mm-hmm.
People from Africa, China, Europe, Asia, from all over the world, literally. I pretty much cut the hair. You name the ethnic group, I probably touched them at some point. And they all want to be heard. And what I found is that their stories are very similar. They were impacted by their childhood.
Mm-hmm.
And so my story when it comes to relationships started with my mom and dad having an altercation. Basically, it was very abusive. He beat my mom. My dad did. And
mm-hmm.
so I was 5 years old. We moved from Oklahoma City to Tulsa. And instantly, my mom was thrown into situational poverty, like overnight. And from that traumatic event, I made an inner vow. In that inner vow, I promised that I would get married to somebody and I would treat them better than my dad handled my mom. And that was a mistake. The scripture clearly tells us not to make promises. It says to just keep your word. And if you notice in Genesis, it talks about how when God wanted to have a covenant with us, He didn't allow us to be a part of the promise. He laid Abraham to sleep and he walked through the covenant.
Mm-hmm.
Because he said, I have to swear by myself, because men were fragile, were not dependable. So if I'm going to have a covenant with man, I have to step in and I have to be a part of that. And I have to make it happen, because they will destroy themselves.
Mm-hmm.
Well, as a little boy, I made this inner vow that I'm going to do right. And what happened, I met someone at 16 and got engaged at 17, married at 19.
Wow.
Divorced at 42.
Mm.
Well, part of the issue on my end was I promised that I would be married, and I gave all of myself. I forgot who I was in Christ. I lost my identity. I lost my voice. And I crumbled. I compromised my marriage and my relationship, my vows, eventually got myself together, and we went through a divorce. But the reality is that there's no reason why a person should die, to lose themselves for a relationship. And that's what I did. You know, Jesus Christ already died.
Come on.
He went to the cross.
Come on.
There's no reason for me to go and die and get everything that I am. And that's not how relationship works. So because of that dysfunction, I lost my voice and I hit a wall and I didn't know how to come out of it until I ran back to God's love.
You ran back to God's love. That's beautiful. That's awesome. Because isn't that what it's about? I mean,
that's
your value. I mean, really, that is. And recognizing who you are in Christ is the first step. So I love the fact that you just said, so you made a vow. And we do that. You know, it talks about that, like you said, not swearing by that and everything. And you made a vow because of what you saw with your parents, that you'd never do that. That you, and I mean, and honestly, that was noble to say, hey, I'll never be like that. I want to be the opposite of what I saw, and I want to value my wife, and I want to take care of her and all those things. But like you said, you can't do that if you aren't whole first in Christ. And if you don't know your worth, you'll allow people to walk over you, or you'll allow people to kind of fill the place, let me say that, that only Christ can fill. And that's what it sounds like happened. So with that said, you went through a divorce. Why did you guys, because I know you said you tried everything, but in the process you lost yourself. Tell me about that. What do you mean?
Well, you can't be everything for someone.
Come on, we ain't
you
Jesus.
Can't make people happy.
We ain't Jesus. Go ahead.
And I did everything within my power. See, and that's the problem with the inner vow. It's your promise, so you have to see it through.
Ooh.
God has no place in that at all. That's why he tells us, don't swear by ourselves.
Yes.
Trust in him, right? So because I trusted in Tyson, if it didn't work, it was my fault. If something was wrong in the relationship, it was my fault. You know, I became like the sacrifice.
Ooh.
You know, I became that person that took on everything. And when you do that, what happens, the other person really doesn't have any responsibility in the relationship. So basically, I took it all. And it was always my fault. And one day, something happened. I just hit a wall. I didn't have enough. And I didn't know what was going on because I'm giving you everything I have.
Yeah.
You know, there's a song, Christmas songs. Last Christmas, I gave you my heart. The very next day, I gave it away. This year, you know. And people love the song. But the reality is, especially with women, you never give your heart away.
Yeah.
You share your heart. See, God has our hearts. And he allows us the privilege of being married. And from there, we can share this wonderful experience. It's kind of like eating a nutritious meal. Well, the dessert part of it is not necessarily nutritious. It's actually a bonus. And that's kind of what marriage is like in our lives. We don't need a marriage.
Yeah, come on.
We stand alone without anybody validating us. So God has chosen us because life said yes the day we were born. We were born without a partner.
Mm-hmm.
Born without children. And this is to mothers. Your identity is not being a mother. If it was, you would have been born with a baby. You were born as a single individual in the sight of God, full of purpose.
Come on.
And that's what we pursue our lives for, is a purpose that God has put in us. And then we add someone alongside of us to fulfill that purpose together in harmony. But I lost who I was. I wasn't teaching like I wanted to. I didn't go anywhere. My identity was just in my marriage. And it should be in Christ.
Yes.
And so when I did that, when I say compromise, I had an affair. And I didn't have an affair because I was just some sex-crazed person. It's just somebody looked at me and said, hey, I see you. You're good. I hear you. I appreciate what you're doing. And a lot of times the statistic is really different than what people may think about men having affairs, that it's just about sex. No, it's not. It's like any other person. If you lose your identity, you will look for someone to validate you.
So true.
And that's all it simply was.
Someone to validate you. And we look.
We never should depend on a person to validate.
That's it.
See, God validates us. Humans affirm. So when you affirm something, all you do is you say amen. You say, yes, I see his value too. God made him an individual. God made her an individual. I see her value. I see it. I recognize it. And I clap and I applaud them. But God validates.
So
see,
good.
Only the creator can validate its creation.
And that's where we mess up. I mean, that's where we get it wrong.
Yeah,
and I was going to ask you, you've pretty much hit on that. What would you say is one of the biggest mistakes people make in relationships? And I think it's what you just said. But go ahead.
Purpose and expectation, right? Mm. What is the purpose for a relationship, right? Especially a romantic one, right? Mm-hmm. Because our moms, our dads, we didn't choose them, mm-hmm. right? Our sisters, our brothers, we didn't choose them. By default, we're in their family, right? And they have a culture that we grew up in. We didn't choose our culture. But once we get older, we can. However, a romantic relationship is probably the last relationship we should focus on.
Yep.
Because we need to go through a series of processes to develop and know what our purpose is. So when you ask yourself, what is the purpose of this relationship? Oh, romance. Well, we know romance is fleeting, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Those are moments. Those are feelings. But we need to know purpose, and we need to have a certain expectation. See, in a relationship, if you have unrealistic expectations, your heart will continue to get broken. And the Bible clearly says that hope deferred makes the heart sick.
Sad. Yes.
But when it gets its desire, right, it's full of joy. So we can't control a person to fulfill our needs. God should have already met your needs, and your identity should be clear, and your purpose in life should be great. It's like going on a trip, right? And you're driving, fulfilling your purpose, and you look to your right, and you see this woman or this guy doing the same thing, fulfilling their purpose. They're on a journey. And then you look at each other and you say, you know what? I would love to share my journey with you. Then you come together. Now you have this fullness, this joy, this happiness. And now you can really represent Christ in the church.
Yeah.
Because remember, only God validates, because he is the maker. He's the maker. We affirm. So when I see when I met my wife, I'm married now. It's been 3 years. I saw her value. I really saw the gifts she had, and she is a great asset to where I am in my life, to see things that I can't see, because we all have a blind side. Mm-hmm. And when you have a partner, who is better than one, the scripture says, mm-hmm. but we have to do it based on the right foundation. Her foundation is Christ. My foundation is Christ. And when we come together, we're going the same direction, which is our identity in Christ together as one. And that's how we become one. The Bible talks about a man leaving his wife and cleaving to a woman, becoming one. But first, we need to be one with Christ.
Yep.
Then we can combine in a really full, authentic way.
Woo! And you're a force multiplier after that. Y'all are a force. It's
yes.
The two of you together being a force. It's kingdom. And what are you doing for the kingdom? And so that's so powerful. And I think that a lot of times people don't understand marriage because we've seen Hollywood. We've seen what the TV shows, mm-hmm. and we don't understand God's design for marriage.
That's right.
God's design for marriage. It's never about, like you said, the romance is fleeting. That's a benefit. We love that. Don't get me wrong.
Yeah.
But that's not the ultimate goal. It is for you, like you said, him being one in Christ, you being one in Christ, you coming together and affecting the kingdom for his glory. And so I always talk about kingdom marriages. I'm always like, you know, if you start to look at it like that and say, God, what is our value, like you said, to each other? What can we bring to the kingdom together? Mm-hmm. It changes the way you choose a mate. It changes the way you even look at relationships, because you see it from a godly perspective, not just a selfish, what can I get out of it? And I think a lot of times too, if I might add, that we, you know, he completes me, she completes me. That Hollywood stuff, baby, if you are looking for somebody on earth to complete you, you are in trouble. And that's where I think the disappointment comes, because we think it's going to be like that. And there's nothing outside of Christ that can really complete you. I know this is going off topic, but this has just popped in my mind. Me and my husband were talking this morning. We recently moved into a new house. God is so good. It's beautiful, beautiful house. And we said, even with this, all of this God has given us, that we know it's him, it's beyond what we want as far as our dream house.
Mm-hmm.
There's no thrill, you know, after so many months, a year, the thrill of that house is already kind of like, okay, why? Because things, people outside of Christ can't satisfy you. And so that's why you'll see celebrities with everything and they're depressed. You'll see celebrities with everything So it's the same thing that you're talking about as far as relationships, because if you're looking for something earthly, temporary to satisfy what only the eternal God can, you'll be in trouble every time. So good point.
To support that statement.
Yeah.
You know, even if a person doesn't know God,
mm-hmm.
there was in the Bible, right, the Tower of Babel. They were coming together in Babylon to build the Tower to God. And God said, If we don't come down and disrupt their speech, mm-hmm. they'll be able to do it, because once they're in agreement, they can do it. So even because the scripture says it rains on the just and the unjust. Mm-hmm. That's why you can have a person who may not know God, right?
Mm-hmm.
However, they may not know God. However, they are actually in agreement and they can have some success.
Yes.
But internally, because we have to have a eternal perspective about things. And when you said that fulfillment with your home, how that sweetness leaves quick,
mm-hmm.
you know, it is biological that human beings, after so long, we get used to things.
Yeah.
And what it's designed to do is to keep us moving. So mm-hmm. if we go to one location, right, so we can continue to evolve and develop, we get bored, so we keep moving.
Mm-hmm.
We keep the thing going, right, so that we can always expand and to grow and to become more.
Mm.
And it happens like that with relationships, because about, I think, 6 to 18 months, we're euphoric. We're literally high. The dopamine shooting through our bodies is crazy, and we are literally high for a season, and we get married based on those decisions.
Ooh.
And that's unhealthy.
Yes. Oh, wow. You said it right there. So let's talk about, we're kind of hitting on that too. Let's talk about the fact that, like, our culture really, I said that teaches us to idolize being married. And it's almost like if you're not married, you're thought of as less than. It's like how you're made to feel like, why don't you have a boo on, Valentine's Day? Oh,
right,
you know,
right.
You're not getting flowers, or, you know, all of those things. Let's talk mm-hmm. about just how detrimental that outlook is, especially for women. And I'm glad you're talking about understanding value, because if your value was in, I didn't get flowers, or I'm less than because I'm not married by 30, it can have such a detrimental effect on your relationships with others, but also your relationship with God. Let's talk about that a little bit.
Well, you know, my wife, we've been married 3 years.
Mm-hmm.
And, she talks about this a lot, how people would say she's beautiful, right? She's stunningly beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
And people would say, well, you're not married yet. Like, what's wrong with you?
Exactly.
Some of her friends got married and they no longer want to hang out. It's almost like
yep.
she had a disease.
Yes.
Single. And especially in the church, we just separate single,
mm-hmm.
single, right? We make such a big deal out of it. Like, it is woman's mission to be married.
Mm-hmm.
If she's less than if she doesn't. And that's mm-hmm. been in most cultures. It's like that. I've spoken to women directly, and they said that before they go to college, their parents teach them, find a husband.
Wow.
And when you find a husband, you do right by him.
Wow.
And you take the crap. And these are smart women, right? These are women who have degrees, who are sharp.
Yeah,
but they still have this inferior perspective
yep.
that is poured over them, and it is false. Marriage is hard work. It's often overrated.
Yeah,
because of the lack of purpose and clarity.
Yeah,
whether you're married or not, it doesn't mean you're incomplete. As a matter of fact, you can get closer to Christ probably a little easier not being married. If you know what I mean?
No, it's true.
You are less distracted.
Yeah,
Paul even talks.
Paul
about
talks about that.
Said,
yes,
and he said, "I have permission to say this. It's not doctrine, but he said I have permission to say this.
Yeah,
that it's better to not marry so that you can give yourself to God. See, because once you are fulfilled in Christ, there's no high." There's no piece of cheesecake. There's no pecs or breasts that can outdo the love of Christ.
Yes.
It's joy that sustains us and fulfills us. And when we get to that place, we want to add people to that. And when you
yes.
have a spouse that you can bring into that, oh, it's precious and sweet. So a woman's identity is not in a man. And it makes it difficult. And this is what I was saying to not be done. If I was a woman and I wanted a man, I would make it my last priority. And the reason why, because number one, it's not God's promise.
Mm-hmm.
See, the scripture says his promises are yes and amen.
Yeah.
If he promised it to you, you can make a demand on it, right? Healing is yours, right? Peace
yes.
is yours. Protection is yours. It is mine, right? But he didn't say that about marriage.
Mm-hmm.
He said he'll help you in your marriage, but he didn't say that marriage is a promise.
Mm-hmm.
And then the second thing, whenever you add another human being's will, you lose autonomy. Control.
Mm.
You can't make him love you.
Mm-hmm.
You can't make her treat you well. You can't make her be faithful. You can't make him be respectful. And as long as there's another person, you put yourself in a vulnerable state to open yourself up, because this is something you want so bad that you will compromise. So it is dangerous. So your identity is not in that. And women have to know that their identity is not being a wife. Their identity is not being a mom. You were born with a purpose. Your identity is in the purpose that God gave you. And that purpose is simple. It's to add value to people. You know, life is the opportunity to be loved by our Creator. That's the only reason He created us, because He's love. And the only thing love wants to do is to love more. That's why there's billions of us, right? And then now we have the opportunity to love just like Him.
That's so good. Jesus said the greatest commandment was to love God with all our hearts and minds and souls, and to love our neighbor as ourselves. You are so funny. Somebody trying to get in touch with you. I hear your phone ringing. That's funny.
And I'm in a hotel, so I know someone trying to reach me.
That's why I'm laughing. I'm like, somebody trying to get you. That's so funny. Hey, we're live. I love it. I love live stuff, because you just can't edit it out. It is what it is. So, with that said, that kind of goes to what the Lord showed you during your journey of marriage at an early age, and then you went through your divorce. How did He really reveal His love for you and us, and how that has to be key, like, if we want a successful relationship? Because it isn't just about marriage. It's relationships with others. I know people that are not good at relationships with their parents, with their siblings, whatever, because of hurt, because they don't know their value, or because they've never understood their worth in Christ. And so it affects everything.
Mm-hmm.
So I was asking, go ahead. I'm sorry.
No, you go ahead.
I was just saying, like, what was that journey? Like, what do you think that the Lord really highlighted to you during that journey of going, you know, being married early, going through the divorce, and how His love for you was so key in understanding, like, your worth and your value?
I realized that I was perfectly human, yet humanly flawed. And that when we depend on human beings, then we are prone to make mistakes. And I was able to forgive myself. Realized in the process of compromising my marriage that I wasn't loving anyone. And then I was in this bubble. And as long as you're in this bubble, right, the world is safe and peace. And it was like an outlet. But when life happened, that's... you can't live there. And see, this is why I want people to know, like, affairs and anything that is private, right? Because the scripture says anything that's not of faith is sin. Basically, whenever you do things outside of God's involvement, it's a sin. And we think about it like acts, but it's really an attitude. It's a matter of the heart.
It's a heart, yeah.
And what He shared with me is that I know you made plenty of mistakes. I know you made a lot, and there are many, but your purpose is greater than your mistakes.
So good.
And that I'm going to love you in spite of what you've done, but there are consequences to your actions. However, I will love you through it. And while I was going through it, He would share that I'm going to show you what love is like. And when I came out of it, a lot that happened could have really destroyed my business, ruined relationships. But He restored me. And even my children's mom said, I don't know what it is, but you have to be the most favored person in the world. And I think we all are. But the moment I decided to love God and love people, things changed for me. It's like I never hit stop stride. I was in a Walmart, and this lady came up to me, a client of ours, and said, "Hey, I had a dream about you. You were on fire, but when you came out, you never smelled like it.
Ooh.
When you came out, you didn't look like it." She said, "Whatever you've done or whatever you've been through, it's going to be like it never happened." And God covered me. So what He told me is, when you cover people, you there's no residue. And she also told me that whatever you taught your children, don't worry, they'll be okay. And at the time, I wasn't going through a divorce. It was about to happen. But my biggest concern was my children being covered.
Yeah.
And they just declared and just affirmed that you're okay. Don't worry. So what He affirmed to me during that process was His love is bigger than our mistakes. And as long as we lean on Him, He's our Heavenly Father. And I was so excited. You know, I was excited. And the minute that I got everything out that I had done, it's like the world was lifted off my shoulders. Telling the truth was the greatest thing I could have ever done. And it was torture. Every day is like taking a shower, grieving about what I had done, lied, you know, because, you know, when you're a cheater, you lie.
Yeah.
You slimy, dirty dog, right?
Yeah.
And you lie to protect and cover because you don't want to let go. And I'll finish with this. The thing that I had to let go was myself.
Mm-hmm.
Most people have affairs, men, because of worship. They want more and more praise.
That's
and
good.
Just like you talked about in the last question about us getting used to things. Well, when you have this first new relationship, it's all fun and games, right?
Mm-hmm.
Then eventually you get used to it. So what do you want? You want that high again.
Yes.
Because you want someone to say, oh, my God, you're amazing.
Yeah.
Oh, my God, you're this, you're that. So the people that do that the most is just people who've never experienced you. So you jump from bed to bed so you can have worship. It's the same reason Satan got kicked out of heaven.
Preach.
Because he wanted to exalt his stars above God. It's not that he thought he was better than God or he wanted to that God was a horrible person. He wanted the praise, right? That will draw you in each time. It was about Tyson. Tyson. And as soon as Tyson stepped out of the way, you know, God could be God and he can love me.
So good. You said his love, basically you were talking about how he covered your mistakes, and I thought about his love covers a multitude of sins.
That's right.
And we always, I don't think we understand how powerful that is, and that it's the love of God that leads us to repentance. It's not his whoopings, it's not his discipline, it's the love of God that leads man to repentance. And so
that's right.
All I hear you saying is how powerful knowing who you are in Christ and how powerful understanding his love is for you, how powerful that is to everything we do. Because when you talk about relationships, I mean, people automatically go marriage, significant other, but what you're saying to me is hitting in so many dynamics. Even just the relationship with yourself. Hello.
Yeah.
Believing that you're worth it, believing that God loves you. You can't love others if you can't love yourself first. I mean, not fully. You know what I mean?
So
what you're saying to me is like so powerful because you're hitting so many things. Relationships is where it's at. I mean, no man is an island. We were created to be a unit. The body of Christ is a unit. That's why it's called the body. We need each other. And so I could see how this would totally, you know, transform what you're teaching and what you're talking about, even just basic relationships, mother and daughter, son and father, whatever. So let's talk about you teaching people about value. You said you really like to teach people to understand their value. What does that mean?
Well, no matter what we believe, whether in Allah, Buddha, reincarnation, God as a creator, we know that we don't exist by merit. And if I ask that question and you raise your hand, then, you know, we need some help, right?
Mm-hmm.
No one decided to be born.
Mm-hmm.
And when I ask you that, did you decide to be born? And you say, no, I was conscious one day. So the point being is that human beings didn't choose to exist, and nor did a person choose for us. That means something outside of us chose us,
mm-hmm.
right? Something beyond us. And if we're chosen, that means we have purpose. If we have purpose, we have value.
Mm-hmm.
And when we go scripture-wise, right, this is so powerful. You got to get this. When God created the body, I'm a Christian guy, so I believe in God as a creator. He made the body from the dirt,
mm-hmm.
and the body was just a blob. It laid there. How did it come alive?
He breathed into it.
He breathed life. He
breathed life
into us. We became a living soul. That means mm-hmm. we had consciousness. We could think. We could speak. We could believe. We could hear. Well, every single individual is walking around with the breath of God in them.
Mm-hmm.
So when I see them, I see their value.
Mm-hmm.
It is the only asset in the earth, a human being. Think about it. The earth was made for human beings. That's why we can go and take iron out of the ground and ore and natural gas. We can channel water. We can. Everything we see was made from the earth. Nothing came from space, nor did it come from us. We have God's DNA in us.
Yeah.
I don't care who you
come
are.
Come on.
Whether you like Obama, whether you like Trump, whether you like Biden, whether you like Suge Knight, you know, or Lecrae, it don't matter who they are. They are possessors of the breath of life. So I see your value. You can smile. And whether you choose to be a valuable person mm-hmm. and honor humanity by seeing their worth too, that's your choice. So I wrote my book based on a narrative that I wrote to some teenage boys. Our Village Tulsa helps teens in Tulsa, teen fathers. Mm-hmm. And I wrote this narrative called How Do I Honor a Disengaged Father and Live Free from His Rejection?
Ooh, that's good.
So how can a woman see value in a person that's raped them or mm-hmm. whose father left them, mm-hmm. who abandoned them, or a husband who beat them, or a person who fired them unjustly? As long as there's breath in their body, there's an opportunity that their Heavenly Father can reach them. And our responsibility is to pray. That don't mean we have to continue being a victim.
Yep.
Right? They don't mean being a doormat. We can get out of the way. We can distance ourselves from them. However, as long as they're breathing, the Bible tells us to pray for our enemies. Pray for those who despitefully use us.
Yes.
The reason why is because there's still a chance.
Yeah.
Because the DNA of God dwells in us all.
Wow. That's good. That's very good. I'm just like, that's a lot. I mean, you really broke that down, and that is very, very good. So when we were talking, I was saying that I know that I think your message is good for both men and women, but I do know mm-hmm. that you speak and like to affirm women in particularly. I think that's probably your main group that your demographic that you hit. What is the reason for that? Why do you feel like women is your target audience?
Well, when I was single for a brief moment and I would sit across the table from a woman, I saw in her eyes the vulnerability that she was going through.
Mm-hmm.
Not because she's worthless or she don't see her worth or value. It's just an unfair system. Mm-hmm. And I recognized what my mom must have been going through in a greater way, being a single mom.
Wow.
Right. It's dangerous. Men are dangerous. Right. Mm-hmm. Can be dangerous. Right.
Mm-hmm.
And a woman is not necessarily as strong per se. And I know women say that we can do whatever men can do. Well, that's not necessarily true.
That sure is.
It's false. Right.
Mm-hmm.
You can be just as smart and intelligent. You can be just as wise, fulfill your purpose by design. However, men and women are unique.
Yeah.
But they're just as valuable.
Mm-hmm.
And I would talk to women, and some of the things that they would share with me were heartbreaking.
Yeah.
Because it's lonely, especially for some of our black women.
Yes.
Living in certain areas is mm-hmm. difficult because mm-hmm. the chances of being in a romantic relationship is slim to none.
Mm-hmm.
Because men are not seeking to be a husband.
Come on.
They may be seeking to have a woman that they can have, and not really understanding the fullness or the totality of what a wife is.
Mm-hmm.
I wanted to let them know that you matter and your voice matters.
Mm.
And you are greater than a romantic relationship.
Mm.
Your purpose goes far beyond that. You had one before that. I had a client I was speaking to, and she was saying that sometimes I don't feel like mothering. Well, when people hear her say that, they say she's an unfit mother.
Mm-mm.
But it's not true. She wasn't born a mother. That takes a lot of work.
Mm-hmm.
She was born as a single woman with a purpose that God has inside of her, and she made a choice to be married and have children.
Mm-hmm.
Those were choices. Those were things that happened based on that. But God's purpose is still in her.
Mm-hmm.
And she has a drive and a desire to fulfill that. And I believe women should be free to fulfill the God-given talents and gifts that they have and to share that with the world without having these identity issues. Well, you should be a mom. You should stay. You should stand by your man, support your man. All those are cool, but not outside of who you really are.
Mm-hmm.
And I just didn't like the fact that women were just kind of vulnerable.
And yeah.
I just believe that they have more value than what they're giving themselves credit for.
Yeah.
And I'll say this and be done, but they've even lowered their standards a lot.
That part, I was going to tell you to go into that.
Just
go ahead.
Have an opportunity
to
be with somebody, wanting someone to touch them, to love them. It's written that in a study that a woman needs to be touched 7 times to be affirmed non-sexually.
Mm-hmm.
And I asked some women in my salon one day, it was 9 of them. 8 of them said they have never been touched by a man without him wanting sex.
Mm-hmm.
8 of them. 7 of them said they've been molested or touched in an inappropriate way. And I'll say this and be done. When I was kind of dating, right, I
mm-hmm.
would see women, all kinds, all ages. And I would think, okay, I wonder what her story is, right? I want to talk to her. Then I think about it. Wait a minute. She's 25 or something. I asked, how old are you? So once I started doing that, I realized that I need to know this story because it may not fit mine. Mm-hmm. And once I know the story, I have to ask myself, what are your plans for her? If she's 25, you know you're not getting married. So why are you looking at her?
That part.
Is it? You know what I mean? So I had to check myself, and I had to go back to thinking more like a gentleman. Because when I was single, man, that was like letting a bull out of a cage. I mean, I was like, oh my God, this is different. And then women were so open and willing. I've had women like be mad at me and angry at me because I wouldn't, right?
Mm-hmm.
And it was just different. But one of them called me and said, I need to speak to you. You're the only person I can speak to. And I told her at some point that we're not going to go far. You're young. So I don't want to commit a relationship. We can be cool. But because you want more, I think we should stop the relationship. Because that's not fair.
Yeah.
She said, well, we can still be friends, but you can't, right?
Yeah.
Because you want more still.
Mm-hmm.
Well, she called me after a couple of months and said, I need to talk to you. So we talked. She said, what's wrong with me? Men don't treat me with respect, blah, blah, blah. And I just said, because your identity is not in Christ. It is in how you look.
Yes.
Your identity is based on what they see in you physically. And so you respond. And I asked her this. I said, have you ever been held by a man without being touched inappropriately? And she said, no. And I said, let me hug you as your brother in Christ. And she cried and wept like a baby.
Wow.
And then I realized even more so that women need to be affirmed by men. Because as a man, when I go play basketball and I make a good jump shot, men always say, good shot, Tyson. I hear it from a man's voice, right? But women don't get that. Mm-hmm. Oftentimes they're touched or looked at in a sexual way and not in a way of affirmation and someone that can bring security. So when I saw that in a greater way,
wow.
I want to help the sisters. I want to help all of them, white, black, short, tall, Asian, wherever you come from, we are all sisters. And I want to support you and I want to encourage you that you have value. Your story matters and don't settle.
That is good. I can see the chat on Facebook and people are like, wow, wow, wow. I think you're hitting a lot of good points that women deal with. And I want to say, you also said something about when we were talking, you were saying that the vulnerability and women not really understanding their worth, and because they don't, they're more willing to just, you were like saying how the ball is in women's court and you wanted them to understand that they don't have to just be so quick to give it away
yes.
and give themselves and all this kind of stuff. If they understood their worth in Christ and understood their value, they wouldn't be so quick to do that, because really the ball's in our court. If we say no, then no. You know what I mean?
Right.
But you were
right.
saying so many women had just, because so many men are just, like you said, don't want to be married and have kind of put that out there, in order to have a relationship, they're willing to lower their standards and just say,
mm-hmm.
okay, well, at least I'll do this because at least I'll have something because I need that.
That's right.
And what happens if your first worth and understanding, your affirmation and your worth is not from your Heavenly Father, then you're going to seek it other places. And that's
right.
what happens a lot of times. And so what I'm hearing is you caught that and you noticed that as a man, you were like, wait a minute. You know, this, when you were dating, you were like, wow, this is just probably way too easy, I'm assuming.
Yes.
You know, sadly, it was way too easy because that's the thought, you know, because like you said, there's so many, especially African-American women that have a hard time. And so it's kind of like that standard is lowered. And I pray that someone that is listening will see that, hey, your value, and I know it's easy to say, especially if you're married or you have someone, you know, people are like, I was single though, so I know that time of your life when it feels like, oh my gosh, is there anybody, you know, but understanding and really, really letting God love you and affirm you is so imperative, because you really aren't going to be any good for a relationship, truly a marriage, if you don't have that. Because you can tell me, and I know that I can say this because we're both married, that person cannot fulfill for you what only the love of your Father can. I don't care who, how wonderful they are, how godly they are. There is only a God spot that he can fill. And if you are looking for anything outside of that from a person, you are going to be so disappointed.
Yes. And it's sad, you know. And on the flip side, too, with men.
Yeah.
What I found is that women tend to overcommit.
Come on.
They overcommit emotionally and they get attached because there's a hope there.
Mm-hmm.
And the more I give him, the more he may give me an opportunity. And what women and you know, and for the men, right? They're not all dogs.
Yeah.
Because we're sensitive, too. We tend to feel overly obligated.
Oh, yeah.
Because when this woman pours out to me, right?
Yeah.
I don't want to hurt her feelings. So
true.
What we do is, and women, listen to this. You got to be careful. My wife helped me with this. Because, see, I was divorced. So I was used to treating people like a wife. Well, that's confusing. It's conflicting, right? And so men come in oftentimes and we want to be smooth. We want to sweep them off their feet.
Mm-hmm.
And it sends the wrong message. And then once we have their heart and we know we don't want more, we tend to feel overly obligated because I don't want to hurt a feeling.
Mm-hmm.
So we drag the relationship on for a long time. And this is what we do. This is crazy. We risk conserving their spirit. I mean, their feelings, but break their heart.
Ooh.
So we'll preserve their feelings, but break their heart. Because the longer you stretch it out, that heart gets really entangled, right? That soul tie. And don't have sex, because the bond happens quicker, right? Because we know that's about covenant, right?
Yep.
So we should just hurt their feelings and spare their heart.
Yeah.
Just be upfront and quit being weak. And that's what I was. I lost my voice. And one of my mentors told me this. He said, you got to get your stuff back, son. You got to get it back. And I did. I lost my voice.
Yeah.
And it was difficult for me to say no, especially to women. I couldn't hardly say no.
Mm-hmm.
And I had to get myself together because I would feel overly obligated to a relationship. So my wife and I now, we were dating for a few months and then I had to stop because I wasn't ready to commit. And so we go back and forth. She says that, you know, you broke up with me, so I'll take over the word. But I had to get myself together, and I prayed. I said, God, when I'm ready to be married, she's the woman that I want.
Wow.
But I knew I'm not ready because I'll be weak. I'll be passive. I wouldn't be what I need to be to lead her. So I had to get myself together, and it still took some time for me to get to that point where I could lead. See, and I'm finished with this. Before, I was trying to please. But if you're going to be married, men and women, if you're going to be married to someone, his role is not to please you, it's to lead you.
Mm.
And how he leads you is through loving you like Christ loves you.
Come on.
And that's a service, right?
Servant.
But not to please you. So don't look for this guy to be your knight in shining armor, because he's not. Jesus the one took them swords, right? He's the one died on the cross. Don't crucify your husband. He's not everything, right?
Yes.
But he can be a part of the process of leading you
through
this place we call earth. And helping your experience be a little more fulfilling.
Wow. Someone asked in the chat, what do we do when the person doesn't see your value?
Well, you need to run like
thank you. Thank you.
Right? Because if they don't see your worth, right, they don't have the capability of loving you like Christ. See, he says, men, love your wives like Christ loved the church. Jesus said, I see your value so much that I would give my life for you.
Mm.
If you don't see your worth and your value, he is not the guy. And look,
preach.
It's just like driving a car from here to California, wherever you are. Let's say you're in New York and you want to go on a road trip to California. You don't get a bucket. And a lot of women, they go get buckets for men, like a bad car, a raggedy car, right? And you say, we're going to go on this life journey together. And you got to fix him up along the way. You got to get him to love you, get him to see your worth, get him to respect you. It'll be a long time before you get to your destination.
So
you may not ever get there in that bucket, right?
That
you
is
may
so
fall apart before good. You get there. You're going to make stop after stop. But what if you got a car? Yeah, we all been through stuff, right? So we're all used. All right, but you can get a certified pre-owned something, right? And it got all the it's been checked, it's been engine flushed, honey belt done, everything, new tires. It will get you from there to California.
So
yeah,
good.
You have some road stops, right? Bathroom breaks. You'll have some tolls, but you won't have to pull over on the side of the road,
Ooh,
right?
And that's good.
You live your life. You pick a guy who's stable, who's financially doing something, right? You ain't got to be rich.
Yeah.
You need somebody who's emotionally stable, who knows where he's at emotionally. You need somebody who is physically trying to live a good, healthy life, because the last thing you want is a guy that's broke down and you're trying to take care of him, right? Mm-hmm. You don't want that. So there's some things that you got to put in place. And I got a cool ebook coming out about my story, and it's about dating and relationships. So it'll be out soon, and I'll explain these things, how you meet a person and you meet them with intent, being intentional and on purpose, so that you don't be vulnerable and risk wasting your time.
So good.
With a bucket.
That is such a good thing about your life, right?
You don't have time to be pulling over all the time.
Checking out what he needs,
and chasing behind him. Is he cheating or not? Or he don't see my worth and my value. No, you don't have time. If you got a question, if he sees your value or not, most likely you don't. Look, if a man wants you, he will come get you.
Preach. I say that all the time.
That's why it can't be your priority.
Yeah.
Because you have no say whether he wants you or not. The only person who has proven that he wants you has already given his life.
Jesus Christ, come on.
When you sell out to him, you'll be so fulfilled. And my wife told me, she said, I wasn't looking for nobody.
Same.
When you came along.
Same. That's exactly my testimony.
She said, I
wanted
a relationship at some point, but when I got to this point where I was good,
that's when it came
because Christ can become first.
Yep.
Now when someone comes, and I'm telling you, she is bomb. I ain't never seen nothing like it. I could cry because she embraced my children like they're her
own. I love it.
Oh, and my new daughter, she's phenomenal.
She calls me
Leviticus because she said, I'm always talking about the word. But it's the funniest nickname I've ever heard of. But I just love them, and they're a good addition to my family, and I needed help.
Yeah.
I needed help. It helped me.
Oh, man, this time goes so fast. First of all, somebody asked, what's the title of your new book, the ebook? Is it out yet?
No, it's not. And I don't have a title just yet.
Okay.
But I'll be done with it within a couple of weeks. And they can go to my website, TysonSpeaks.com.
TysonSpeaks.com.
And I have some stuff on there that they can see. I'm still under development, but they can still read some of my blogs that's on there. It's a great one about women.
Okay.
You matter, and so does your story. You should read that one about making yourselves a priority.
Well, you also, I was just getting to the question about your book. You have a published book called Dream Another Dream.
Yes, and it was endorsed by the famous Clifton Talbert, who wrote Once Upon a Time When We Were Colored. He has a great movie out about his book.
Mm-hmm.
He's an award-winning author, and it was scary writing the book. I wasn't a writer.
Yeah. So you're so good and it went so fast. What is a takeaway? Because I know people are going to want to go purchase this. It's on Amazon. It's called Dream Another Dream by Tyson Thompson. Mm-hmm. What is a quick takeaway that if somebody purchases your book, what are they going to receive?
What they're going to receive is that they can go through life without the feeling of rejection anymore. They don't have to worry about the fear of not being enough. Because the first chapter one, is called Secured, the Dreamer's Value. Your value is already secured. Remember, God validated you. So you can go in any room. You can go on any date. And no matter what he says or what they think about you, God has already said yes the day you were born. And when you live life from this foundation and this perspective, you can go through life like on fire. Full of joy because
your
value can never be taken. Like me, I was a cheater, I was a liar, I was manipulative, and I schemed, right? Just to do all that, it was a period of 3 years. And I was on the couch crying, and we were talking about child custody, and the Holy Spirit told me to get up and read the book you've been writing. And the first part I went to was, your value cannot be diminished. See, we have inherent worth and value. And our mistakes don't lessen our value, but it can make us less valuable to people.
Mm-hmm.
How we contribute and how we give to people, we can take away from that. But our worth is, remember, it comes from Christ, an inherent source, an internal source, eternal source, not an earthly source.
So when
we know that, our confidence changes, our
posture
changes. We speak with more confidence. We have courage. Courage simply means to speak your heart with your whole confidence, to speak it into. That's all courage means. It comes from the root word core, which is a Latin word. It means it's just to share your heart.
Mm-hmm.
And you don't have to sit there and take that mess from the guy who doesn't see your value. You don't need him, right?
What you need
is to embrace the idea that you are chosen. If you're chosen, you got purpose. If you're purpose, you have value. That's what the book is about.
That Boom. We're going to stop right there. That is the perfect ending. Tyson, thank you so much for taking your time and being on the show. Guys, go get Dream Another Dream on Amazon. Go to his website, TysonSpeaks.com. Thank you again for joining us. Guys, this was a great show. Tune in next time. Same time, same place, Tuesdays at 7 o'clock, Focus with Angela Duncan. If you have been blessed today and you'd like to sow into this ministry, go to fbrn.us, find Focus with Angela Duncan, and there's a donate button at the bottom, and you can go donate. Also, just remember, God loves you. He is for you. You were created to win, and His heart is for you. Have a good one, and we'll see you next time. Thank you, Tyson, again.
You're welcome. You got to have me back, sister.
Oh, definitely. Definitely. We'll have you back. Have a good one.
Yes, ma'am.
Bye-bye.
All right, you too.